Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament book of Titus, and Dave Everett is going to come and read scripture. There he is. Would you stand for the reading of God's word?
Good morning, everyone. Especially to you fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. When I saw the subtitle for the scripture reading, I was so touched because of the title being Teach Sound Doctrine. So, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that the opponent may not be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about you or about us.
You may be seated.
Thank you, David. Mm-hmm.
I want to begin by asking a question. I'll ask the question in a moment, but after I ask the question, I'm going to pause because I want you to seriously think about it. When you first think about your father, what comes to your mind? As I've shared many times over the years, a little bit about my father. My father died in 1974 at the age of 59 with a heart attack. He had had about 5 heart attacks. He was a hard worker, hard liver, truck driver, coal miner in his early days in western Pennsylvania. He drank hard till I was 15. He was an alcoholic. Man, he liked his beer and homemade rock and rye whiskey. He liked Pall Mall's and Lucky Strikes with no filters. And he got black lung from working in a coal mine. When I became 15, we lost everything, alcohol and gambling. He stopped drinking miraculously. My mother prayed for him. I want to tell you, though, this will be the last time I'll address you on Father's Day, that I respect my father oh, we went without. You know, it's because of the alcohol and the gambling. But I respected my father. He was a man. He liked to fight, carried a pistol. Had one leg. He was in a car accident. He was on his motorcycle. When he was 18 years of age, had a car head on. Lost his leg below the left knee. Never missed a day's work. Worked very hard. But he always had that pistol because he was a fighter. Was afraid of no one. And taught us as boys, my two brothers and I, to never be afraid of anybody and anything, no matter how big they were. He said, if they are bigger than you, get an equalizer. And I can hear him saying it. I don't care, he said, if it's a bat, a brick, or whatever, get an equalizer. Now you say, that's strange. I mean, that is weird, right? That was my dad. Maybe I've inherited some of those traits, I don't know. Connie's father, on the other hand, my wife's father, some of you met him, he died after we moved here in 92. Very meek, very sweet guy, but he was a man in a different way. He would never fight. He was an elder in his church where we grew up as kids, church treasurer, loved missions, and loved his family, and would do anything for anybody. Help them, give them, go there, drive them, cut their grass. That was the kind of man he was. So what comes to your mind when you think about your father? Now here's the critical question for us. What kind of legacy are you leaving your children and your grandchildren? And for some of us, great-grandchildren. See, every man leaves a legacy, whether you like it or not. What kind of legacy are you leaving? I mean, you think of what's going on in the world today, the sports world, the media, entertainment, and you could plug names into a little gap that I could say, like, what is or who is... What kind of legacy is he leaving? You fill in the gap, a super sports star or a media person or a political person or entertainment person. You can think of many examples, some of them very bad examples, of the legacy that they're passing on to their children. What kind of legacy does the Lord Jesus Christ want us to pass on to our children? Oh, such an important question. We live in an unbelievable age. Deadbeat dads, absentee dads, no dads, kids being raised by grandparents. What kind of legacy does Jesus want us to pass on to our children and our grandchildren? Really, does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, the answer is a very definite yes. And I picked this Titus 2 passage because it provides us with some very specific and practical instruction on a father's legacy. The context, the big context of this passage is not primarily fathers. So if you hermeticians out there, you experts in hermeneutics or interpreting scripture, the big context is leadership qualities in the church for both men and women. Some very interesting things there. I hope you caught them. I know that some of you wives did not miss that one about being submissive to your own husbands, right? You heard that one very clear. What I see here, and I just want to unpack it a little bit for the few moments that we have, is I see three dynamic qualities that every father needs to pass on to his children as his legacy to them. We're focusing on fathers. Actually, this material could be for all of us, men and women. But we're going to focus on fathers. We're going to narrow our focus down to them, fathers and grandfathers and men. So what Paul the Apostle is writing here, and he's writing to Titus, And he refers to him as his true son. So Paul's writing as Titus's father, a spiritual father, of course. So we're going to look at three dynamic qualities, and we're going to help with memory, to alliterate the letter E. Three E's, dynamic qualities, that every father, if he wants to follow Jesus, must pass these things on to his son, his sons or grandsons, and all of his children. So the first one is the legacy of being an encourager. Doesn't sound too fantastic, does it? But oh, so important. An encourager. Verse 6. Here's Paul writing to Titus, his son. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. The word encourage means to be someone that has hope and confidence, and you are imparting that hope and confidence to someone else. Big difference there. Self-controlled, and I'm taking these words from the New International Version translation, means to be disciplined in one's choices in lifestyle and total life. Self-controlled, someone is disciplined in their life choices and all of their choices for their whole way of life. How critical is that for a father in passing on a legacy to sons and grandsons? Unbelievably important. Men who are leaders, and that includes fathers, with their children, are to be encouragers to live God-pleasing lives, to become mature followers of Jesus Christ. I wonder, and in going over my notes this week, I couldn't help but wonder how many fathers that concept just totally misses them. Yeah, I want to be a dad, you know, I'm a father, and I want to raise my kids, and I want them to be active in sports and get good grades in school, and I want them to grow up to be success, you know, and have a nice little house in the suburbs and good job and career. But to be an encourager, to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ, utmost importance. And so fathers that are going to pass on a legacy more than just, well, I really encouraged my son, you know. He's 27 years old and I had to kick him out of the basement finally. No. I'm encouraging him to become a mature follower of Jesus. So fathers, are you encouraging your children? Are you encouraging them to be self-controlled? Are you passing on hope and confidence to become everything that Jesus wants them to become? Are you encouraging them to make choices that are pleasing to God? Wow. You know, I look back over my life as a father, and I became a father at the age of 20. But at 20 then, I was very, very mature. More mature than the average 20-year-old today. Tongue in cheek, okay? But I became a father at 20. And my oldest son, Mark, some of you have met, is 52, and he's a grandfather. Isn't that neat? I got a son that's a grandfather. I have a daughter that's a grandmother, too. And two other kids. Some of you all know Tim and Suzanne. But I'm looking back, you know, over the years, I've looked back over my life as a father, and is there anything that I would have changed? I would have probably spanked Tim less. Tim's sitting right over here for some of you that don't know him. He's my youngest son. And maybe I spanked Suzanne a little more. No, one thing that the Holy Spirit impressed on me, that if there's anything that I would have changed, it would be I would have encouraged them and blessed them and praised them more. That's an awesome responsibility, but a very dynamic part of a legacy to them. Are you and do your children see you as an encourager in the ways of life of following Jesus? Now, how does that become fleshed out in everyday life? That's an awesome subject. It's probably going to be a chapter in a book that I write someday. To encourage them means we are giving them hope and confidence that flows through this channel of being motivators to our children. Motivators to our children to become everything that Jesus wants them to become. So encouragement, this is the first E, rides on the reels of motivation and what we're motivating our children to do and how we want them to live. Now, there's a passage in the Old Testament that I just love. And it's from Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And you don't have to turn there, but you can make a note of it. What it does is the psalmist illustrates with the metaphor our children as being arrows. Now, that catches my eye because I was a bow hunter. I haven't bow hunted in a lot of years, but I like bow hunting, and I still got my compound. I still got my old recurve, and I still got some arrows, and they'll be passed on as legacy to the kids. But arrows, man, my children are arrows. I want you dads to wrestle with that, and mothers, that your children are arrows. That's what the psalmist says. Listen to him. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. Now, we all have quivers, men. And some men's quiver, in terms of holding their arrows, some quivers hold one, some may hold two, some hold four like me, some may hold many more, who knows? But every dad has a quiver, and in those quivers are your children, they're your arrows. That's why I love this passage, because my arrows are my oldest son Mark, my oldest daughter Dawn, Tim, and then Suzanne, my youngest. And now, of course, they have spouses and they have children, and my two oldest are grandparents and they have grandkids. But let this really come to grips with your thoughts and your whole philosophy of raising children and being an encourager and motivating them to become everything that God wants them to be. Arrows depict weapons to be used in advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Not weapons in terms of violent weapons like gun and swords. The metaphor breaks down there, of course. But arrows are used in waging spiritual warfare. Here's the question. Oh, my. Are you motivating and encouraging your children to become arrows in advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ? That is a life-changing issue. Are you encouraging them and preparing them and motivating them to be powerful vessels in waging spiritual warfare and proclaiming the gospel and advancing His kingdom wherever God would take them to the nations of the world? See, fathers leaving a God-pleasing legacy will encourage their children to be arrows. And I haven't done it yet, and I'm probably at that where I'm getting too old. Or it might be just be a waste of money, you know, to get another tattoo. But I've been thinking about getting a tattoo of four arrows. You know, Mark, Don, Tim, Suzanne, and arrows. Don't you think that would be neat? I probably won't do it, but I've thought about it for a long time.
You should do it.
I should do it.
Before you retire.
Yeah, before... Thanks, Andrea. See, fathers leaving a God-pleasing legacy will encourage their children to be arrows. And here's the rub. Here's the rub. You will do nothing to hinder them. You will motivate them and pray for them and encourage them to become those arrows that God wants to use. And that's so easy to say. It's so easy to say as part of a sermon, because it may not be the safest place for them. It may not be the most affluent place for them, but it will be where God wants them to be. My oldest son, Mark, called to be a missionary when he was 15, goes off to college, marries a girl who's called to be a missionary, and then that time comes in the year 2000 where they head to Eastern Europe in the country of Macedonia to be a missionary, where they live for 10 years. And Connie and I went to visit them in about 2001, and we're sitting on the balcony of their apartment in Skopje, the capital of Macedonia, and we could hear the big guns of the rebels up in the mountains. And Mark and Becky had to end up evacuating, as all Alliance missionaries evacuated and headed to Greece. A father's legacy to his children means he will be an encourager for them to become mature followers of Jesus Christ, to know him, to live for him, and to serve him. That's just the first E, okay, chapter in a book. Here's chapter two. The legacy of being an example. That's probably a no-brainer, right? The legacy of being an example. Verse 7, Paul says, in everything, set them an example. Here's the mind-boggling, life-shaking, humbling issue. That every father is an example to his children, whether you like it or not. You are an example. Now, every child needs a role model and a hero. Now, I don't know what your hero is. We live in an age right now of superheroes, right? I don't even know the names of some of them. If it wasn't for my kids and grandkids, I don't think I'd know any of them. But you know who my idol was as a kid? My superhero? Don't laugh. Tarzan. Yeah, I wanted to live in a jungle. We climbed up in trees and it was so real, we actually thought we heard monkeys one time. There was no monkeys, but you know, you're into this world, you really think you hear them. But every child needs a role model and a hero. You think of some of the names, the big names right now in sports and in politics and in entertainment. Think of some of those big names. What kind of examples are some of them? Fathers, what kind of example are you being to your children? Titus 2:7. The Apostle Paul says, in everything, let that one grab you. In everything, be an example. So, fathers, you are an example to your children, period. Right now, regardless of what you're doing or not doing, you are an example. Now, let's flesh this out a little bit, because everything can be broken down into some real life areas that we absolutely need to touch on. So if you're going to be an example in every area of life, one of the most critical ones is your relationships. Number one, a father's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you right now, up front, if no one else has ever told this to you, your kids are watching your relationship to Jesus and whether or not you're a mature follower of him. You might, nope, your kids are watching you. They are. Your kids are watching your prayer life. They're watching your spiritual passion and your fervor for Jesus. That's part of the legacy that you're leaving. Of course, under this subtitle of relationships, a father's relationship to his wife, the mother of those children. And I know there are exceptions here. There are bad situations. There's divorce situations. I understand that. But ideally, children need an example of a father's relationship to his wife, their mother. Let me just be as blunt as I can. How do you treat your wife? I'm not talking about husbands and wives today. I'm talking about the legacy that you're leaving for your children as they're watching how you relate to their mother. Do they know you love and cherish her? See, your children are watching you. This is one of my deep, deep concerns in our society today, in our culture, and what especially young guys are being taught that don't have this role model of an example of a father that is showing how do you relate to women? How do you relate to girls? Dads, your sons are watching you and how you relate to their mother and how you relate to other women. You might think, no, no, well, they are. And are we going to give in to the social media and bad examples in entertainment and sports and politics as how men ought to treat women? Are we going to give in and say, that's how you do it? I hope not. Your kids, especially the guys, the boys, are watching how you relate to their mother and how you relate to other women. Because you know what you're doing is you're setting a pattern of how they're going to relate to women, how they relate to girls, and how they may relate to their spouse. It's another relationship that we can't miss, and that's a father's relationship to the church. Your children are watching how you live for the Lord as in using your spiritual gifts, and Kim's song was perfect today. They're watching how you are allowing the Holy Spirit to use you and the gifts, supernatural gifts that He's given you for building up the body of Christ. Your kids are watching you. They're looking at you as a role model for building up the church, building up the body of Christ. And if you see church only as a duty, or maybe I'll pop in once in a while on Sunday and get my spiritual battery charged, and if that's what it is for you, that's what you're telling your kids as an example. Another relationship that is so easy to miss, and that is a father's relationship to the world of the unchurched, the world of the non-Christian. Your children are watching how you share your faith, whether you care and you have a passion for evangelism and missions. Your children are watching you. And if that is no big deal in your life, it's no big deal to them. So another area that I want to touch on in terms of example, and that are habits. This is a second E, and under that example is your habits. An example of good habits would be prayer, worship, ministry. Bad habits, everything from language. None of you fathers have bad language, right? I'm half chuckling saying that. You know, I became a Christian when I was 23. Most of you know that. You've heard the story. And when you see me for the last 26 years here, you see me as pastor, and you cannot even begin to comprehend what my life was like before Jesus. But I became a Christian at 23, and my habits were not good. I was not an example, a good example. When it came to language, I talk like a drunken sailor, because I was the drunken sailor for a while, you know? So, but it was amazing. That day in Pensacola, Florida, and Jesus Christ saved me, and His Holy Spirit came into my life, that my language was miraculously changed. It was. And I'm not saying that's got to be for everybody, but it's like, there were no more, you know, not even the gee and gosh, and because those are all slang words for other things, you know. It's just like gone. I say, thank you, Jesus. And there was no more drinking to get drunk or getting a buzz or whatever like that. So our habits, and this is all under example. And then under example is time and treasure. And I just want to briefly mention that. Are you an example to your children as to how you manage your finances and money? Are you an example of what you do with your time? Your kids are watching you. So a father's legacy, this second E, will be an example in his relationships to his wife, other women, the church, the world, non-Christians, an example in his habits, be they good or bad, an example in the use of his time and his treasures. Okay, the third E, the legacy of being an equipper or teacher. An equipper or teacher. Paul says this to Titus, in your teaching, as mature Christian men, this includes fathers, you will have a teaching equipping ministry in the church and with all the children in your life. We all have this ministry. And again, that's I hope it doesn't just go right here and gone. You have an equipping teaching ministry. So fathers, are you teaching your children? That's an issue. Are you teaching your children, equipping them? And then what are you teaching them? See, a God-pleasing legacy includes being a teacher or an equipper, and that becomes our responsibility. It's not the public school system. That's okay, I'm not against public school, public education. But that is not their primary role. It's our primary role. So if your kid graduates from high school, 12 years of public school, and he can barely read, I'm not blaming it on the school. I'm blaming it on you. See, that's the issue. We can blame it on public education till we're blue in the face. But as dads, we're ultimately responsible. And it's not the ultimate responsibility of the youth group or Sunday school or the pastor. Now, certainly we should be teaching. But if your kids grow up and know nothing about Jesus, you can't blame it on the church. You can't blame it on the youth group. Can't blame it on Sunday school. Dads, it's on your shoulders. Titus 2, 1 through 8 gives us some very important clues as to what we should be teaching them. And then how it should be done. This whole matter of equipping and teaching. Verse 1. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Dads, fathers, grandfathers, men. I don't know if you've ever wrestled with this. But you have a responsibility of teaching your children sound doctrine. Now, one of the things, and you can check with Tim or Suzanne or my daughter Dawn or my son Mark, one of the things that we've always had fun with as a family is that we like to talk doctrine. And sometimes we don't always agree, but we do. We talk doctrine. We talk about what's the Bible have to say, and we can sit around a table and talk about those things. And it's been really neat over the years to hear different perspective. And now I have a grandson who's 28 years old and he's graduated from seminary, and I think sometimes he thinks he knows it all. No, he doesn't. Nathan, wherever Nathan's a nice kid. He's a father of two kids. But we have some great theological discussions. So dads, we have this responsibility of teaching our kids sound doctrine. Let me say this lovingly and gently. Not knowing what or how is no excuse. You're going, but I don't know how and I don't know what. See, it's our responsibility as dads to do that. That means that we have to be students of sound doctrine in order to teach sound doctrine. We need to be good students of good theology. And hermeneutics, or how you interpret scripture. We need to be students of that in order to teach our children and our grandchildren those things. And that all focuses on everything from creation to Jesus to Revelation, scripture, etc. We're also to be equippers or teachers of integrity, verse 7, and that means honesty and no hypocrisy. There's a lot of discussion these days about millennials leaving the church, you know, that 18 to 25 or 30 age group, and where are they? Why do they leave the church? And there's all kinds of discussion going on about that. If you're not aware of it, it's out there. You can read about it. I have my own ideas. This is not the final answer, but I think one of the answers is, and for those of you in that age category of 18 to 25, take this as a pat on the back. They can't stand hypocrisy. They can smell hypocrisy a mile away. And that's people that profess to know Jesus but don't live for Jesus. And they're going, if that's church, I want no part of it. And so they run. I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll do something. Integrity. Seriousness. Paul says here, show seriousness. This is giving this whole responsibility of being fathers top priority in our lives. Priority in terms of what we're teaching and how we're doing it. Soundness of speech in verse 8. This talks about how do we communicate with our kids. As I said a moment ago, if I look back over my years, father, with my four children, one of the main things I would change is I would praise them more. I have certainly have had to go to my kids and say, hey, I'm sorry, I spanked you out of anger. And I didn't do it out of love. I think Tim's the one that told me that I think I chased him with a rake once. Was that you, Tim? Yeah, you're saying, yeah. I don't remember. It is quite possible. Out of anger, you know. And certainly there were times when I had to apologize. And I would spank them out of anger. I didn't hit them with a rake, but I might have chased them with it. Let's bring it down and just clear focus for a moment on this matter of being teachers and equippers. Are they getting their total education from their school system, from their friends, from social media, or from you? The bottom line is, dads, part of our legacy is what we're teaching and how we're equipping our kids. Are you equipping them? Let's summarize. Three qualities, three E's. An encourager, an example, and an equipper or a teacher. You are leaving a legacy, whether you like it or not. It's just automatic. The minute you're involved in bringing a child into the world, you will leave a legacy. Is it the one that Jesus wants you to leave? Let's stand and pray. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us for a moment before I pray. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Father, I thank you for my dad, Connie's dad. Yes, there were negative qualities, but I thank you for the things that you did in their lives to encourage and motivate me. Be with us today as we leave this building. Let us be in tune with the voice of your Holy Spirit to obey what you ask us to do. Let us breathe in the presence of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.